I want to take a few minutes of your time this morning and talk about something that as Christians, every single one of us deals with. And if you're not dealing with it, then you need to look real close at your life. It's kind of like the old saying about your conscience. Be very glad when it bothers you about something. Be very worried when it doesn't. Now, if there's a reason for your conscience to bother you and it's not bothering you, then you need to worry about that. Why is it that my conscience isn't bothering me about this event, whatever it might be that's taking place? Well, what I want to talk to you about this morning is something that if we're not dealing with it, then we need to look close at our lives and see what's going wrong. Because as Christians, this is something that Satan will use against all of us. You know, there's something that we're all very familiar with, and there's a particular job. Some of you may be a salesman. I don't know. I don't know what everybody does. There's nothing wrong with being a salesman. But salesmen have, in general, one job. Their job is to sell a product. Most of the time, they are not responsible for the service that goes along with that product. That falls over to somebody else. If there's problems with it, someone else has to take care of it. So in general, a salesman has one job, and that's to sell a product. And so sometimes they'll come and knock on our door, they'll call us on the telephone. You can't walk through the mall without somebody in the little thing out in the middle trying to stop you to buy a home security system. You know, there's salesmen everywhere, advertisements on the radio, on the television, and what they're trying to do is to tell us about some product that we just can't live without. And if you let that salesman in your door, or you answer the phone, and you let them start with their sales pitch, they're going to try to get you to a point where you feel like you don't have a choice except to buy. Now the choice isn't, am I going to buy? It's, which one am I going to buy, and how much am I going to spend? Well, all that Satan is a salesman. And that's what I want you to realize this morning. Now, I'm not trying to say that all salesmen are devils, because they're not. There's some very good, honest people out there that are doing a good job in sales. But Satan is nothing but a salesman. And what he's going to try to do, if you let him in, if he's knocking at your door and you let him in, he's going to try to sell you sin in the form of temptation. And he's going to make it look like you have no choice except to do whatever it is that he's offering to you. But the fact is that you do have a choice. We all know that we can politely say to that salesman on the telephone, I'm sorry, I'm not interested, thank you for calling, please take me off your phone list, and we can hang up the phone. We all know that we don't have to let them into our house. We know that when we're in the mall, we can just walk right on by that little kiosk there and not take the time to stop and listen to them. Because we know that we have a choice. But Satan is good at masking the fact that we have a choice. And he'll put us in scenarios and make us feel like we don't have a choice. That we have to give in because everybody else is doing it. Maybe it's something that we really want. But the fact is that we do have a choice. So this morning what I want to talk about is temptation. And like I said, it's something that we're all going to deal with. Now my temptations are going to be different than yours. All of us have our different weaknesses. But there's some principles that are going to be the same for all of us. So this morning we're going to talk about the who, what, when, where, and why of temptation. The main part of our sermon this morning is going to be the when and the where. So and the why. And in the introduction we're going to talk about the who and the what. And in this we're going to try to answer the questions real quickly as to who is involved in temptation and what is temptation. Real quickly I want to just point out that there's three people that are involved in temptation every time. Never fails. There's always at least three people involved. One is you. Obviously, you've got to be there. Another is Satan. And the third person involved with it is God. And you say, well, how is God involved with temptation? I didn't think God tempted us. And he does. The Bible tells us that God does not tempt us. But God uses temptation as a test. You say, what we face is a scenario. Satan is using that as a temptation. He's trying to lure me away from the straight and narrow path and give me the cause to commit some sin in my life. And to do that, he's going to put temptation out there before me. Well, God's going to use the same scenario, but what He's going to try to do is strengthen me. He's going to allow me to say something. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, that He's not going to let us be tempted above what we can handle. Okay? So God's going to regulate the temptations, the scenarios that Satan can put before us, and He's going to allow us to be put in a situation knowing that when we overcome, we're going to be stronger. What did He let Satan do to Abraham? That God tested Abraham by asking him to offer his son Isaac. Now, wasn't that a huge temptation? I mean, that's his only son. And God is asking him to offer it. So where's the temptation in that? Well, you could run away and keep your son, but you're going to be running away from God. Or you can go through with it like God has asked you and prepare the offering. Of course, we know the story that God stopped him. But in the end, God knew that Abraham was his servant. He knew that he would follow him. And Abraham, I'm sure, had a stronger faith in God. That was a huge test. So what I want us to see is that the same scenario is a temptation from Satan, but a test from God. And the direction that we choose will either leave us weaker or it will leave us stronger. It will never leave us in the same position. You're not going to get into temptation and come out as strong as you were before. You're not going to overcome temptation and come out as weak as you were. Okay, so there's always three people. So the who of temptation is me, number one, myself, God, and Satan. But what is temptation? Temptation is only Satan's device to get us to sin. It is Satan's sales pitch. That's all it is. He's not going to sell us sin because we know what sin is. And we know what sin leads to. Sin leads to death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So He can't sell us that. He can't sell us death. So He makes it real pretty. He makes it look attractive. He makes it look enticing. And He sells us temptation. And the tricky thing about it is He's the one that tempts me on the things that I'm the weakest on. That's sort of sorry, isn't it? It doesn't seem fair. Why can't He tempt me on the things that I'm strong at? The things that I know I can overcome. The things that I can just walk away from. It's not the way He works. He's going to tempt us on the things that we are the weakest at. And I said earlier, He's going to try to make us feel like we have no choice. There's four things dealing with how He'll make us feel like we don't have a choice. And I want to mention these real briefly. And these are excuses that people use, that people have used, and some of us have maybe even used these excuses for giving into the sin because we felt like we didn't have a choice. Number one, it is human nature. I was born with certain instincts and I cannot control how I react to situations. What's the number one thing that we do this with? Our temper. I was born with a hot temper. My parents had a hot temper. My grandparents had a hot temper. So I just can't help it that I've got a hot temper. It's just my nature. It's in my blood. I can't help it. Number two is environment. We're shaped by our environment and our experience, and we cannot help who we are. So this is not what we were born with. This is what our environment has created. And I just can't help it. These curse words just come out. I'm around it all the time at work. Everybody I work with curses. So I'm just around it all the time. I just can't help it. I hear it, and then it just slips. Of course, that's not true. We know we have a choice in what we say. And then psychology. We're controlled by strong psychological forces. Maybe a strong hate toward a certain group of people, toward a certain stereotype. So we are nice to some people, but other people we're not nice to. And why is that? Well, because of who they are, because of their color, because of their religion, because of their nationality. Maybe they're Muslim, so maybe we automatically associate them with the radicals that did 9/11. And so we just automatically don't like them. And we see them and we're going to talk bad about them. And this is a sad thing, but some of the doctors over at Wee Dowie, they're not Americans. And you know, some people wouldn't go to them when they were sick because of that fact. That's not right. We're judging these people. And that It's a strong psychological force. It's a feeling that's deep within us, and we think we can't control it. I just can't help it that I feel that way. Yes, you can. Satan wants you to think that you can't help it, but the fact is that you can. And the fourth is social dynamics. We want to belong to a certain group of people. Maybe it's a certain clique at school. I can't be with those friends. I can't have these friends unless I do these things to fit in. So I don't have a choice. I have to dress this way. I have to do these things. I have to go to these places. I have to act this way. I don't have a choice. Do you realize how much fun I will be made of if I don't do this? If I don't have these clothes, if I don't go to this party, I don't have a choice. Yes, you do. That's Satan tempting you, trying to make you feel like you don't have a choice. So what is temptation? It's simply Satan's sales pitch and his attempt to try to make you feel like you don't have a choice. You were born with it. You can't help it because you're around it. You can't help it because it's some psychological force. You just can't help the way you feel about these people. Or maybe it's just, if I don't do it, I won't fit in. So Satan tries to control us by taking away our choice. Well, now let's get on to the when, where, and why of temptation. And to do this, I want us to turn over to Matthew, the third chapter. We're going to, all of our texts will come from Matthew 3 and Matthew 4. We're going to look at a passage here that shows Jesus when he faced temptation. Now, too many times I've talked about this passage, and I've just simply made the comment that the way that Jesus dealt with temptation was he quoted Scripture. So everybody needs to study a lot so that when we're faced with temptation, we can quote Scripture too. And that's true. We do need to study so that we have the Scripture in our mind, and when we see a temptation, we see it as a temptation, and we can overcome it. But if you look a little bit deeper into this passage in Matthew 4, we're going to find a beautiful description of Satan's temptation. And we're going to see exactly how he tempted Jesus, what he tempted him with, when he tempted him, and why he chose those points to tempt him on. So the answer to the rest of our questions, the when are we going to be tempted, where or what points are we going to be tempted on, and why will he tempt us, can all be answered in this passage here in Matthew 4. Now just to give you the scenario, Matthew the third chapter, verses 16 and 17, this is when Jesus was baptized. It says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice came from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now when you become a Christian, or when you became a Christian, you remember the fact that there was angels in heaven that rejoiced. The Bible tells us that the angels in heaven rejoice over a sinner that repents. So when you became a Christian, or if you haven't done that yet, when you become a Christian, the angels in heaven will rejoice. Now God's not going to roll the clouds back and say to us, "This is my beloved servant in whom I am well pleased." That's not going to happen for me. It's not going to happen to you. That only happened to one person, and that was Jesus. But that doesn't mean that God's not pleased with us. That doesn't mean that he's not happy with us. And he is. Because we are in a saved condition with him. We no longer have any sins to our account. So what does that do to us? That puts us on Satan's top 10 list. Because we're Christians. We're saved. We're not his anymore. We just left the camp of Satan and moved into the camp of God. So now he's going to try to get us right back. And he did the exact same thing to Jesus. He did the exact same thing. Now Jesus, in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Okay, so what just happened? The Spirit, God's Spirit, led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, but to be tested by God. Okay? God's Spirit led him up there and let Satan tempt him. We're going to see, I guarantee you, Jesus felt stronger when he came out because he faced the devil face to face. We're not going to face him face to face. We won't go toe to toe with the devil. He'll come to us through our friends, through our family, through television. He's going to come to us at a side angle. But he went face to face and gave Jesus all that he had. And Jesus overcame him. You can't tell me that Jesus wasn't stronger. Even being the Son of God, the Bible tells us that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So even Jesus had to learn. And you can't tell me that he wasn't stronger after these events took place. So that's the first thing. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, but it was a test from God. And look at verse 2. It says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. He was hungry. And then the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay, so this is the first test. This is the first temptation. So, let's answer our question. When will we be tempted? Well, look at Jesus' situation. He has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Most of us are doing good to fast through one meal. We might skip breakfast because we don't have time. By the time lunch gets there, we're pretty hungry. And most of us, if we had the power to turn something into food so that we didn't have to go out and get lunch or either go to the microwave and warm it up, most of us probably would. So Satan comes to Jesus and he says, if you're the Son of God, I want you to command that these stones be made bread. I want you to make food out of something that's not food. Now, was it a sin for Jesus to perform a miracle and to create food where there was not? No, it's not. What did he do with the fishes and the loaves? He fed thousands of people with just a few fishes and a few loaves of bread. He even fed himself off of it. And then when they finished, they picked up more leftovers than was there when they started. So that's not the sin. Where's the sin? Jesus was fasting. He had made a commitment between himself and God that he was going to fast. So what Satan's asking him to do is he's asking him to break that commitment. We make commitments to God, don't we? We sometimes say to God in our prayers, if you'll help me through this, if you'll help me overcome this, I promise I'll never do it again. Have you ever made a promise to God like that? You might have. Well, we make commitments to God, and Satan's going to try to come and get us to break that commitment. Maybe you decide you're going to fast for a day. So you just make this commitment. I'm going to fast today and give myself to fasting and prayer. So you're going to get hungry. And what's Satan going to do when you get hungry? Well, he's going to tempt you. Sometimes we get irritable when we get hungry. Sometimes we feel weak when we get hungry. And physiologically, there's things that happen, and we don't feel right. So we feel very low. And Satan is going to use that to tempt us. What's he going to do? Well, he might try to get you to eat some food. You might think, well, there's nothing wrong with eating food. Well, did you make a commitment to God that you were going to fast for that day and give yourself to fasting and prayer? Then there is something wrong with eating food because you're breaking your commitment to God. So what if I make a promise to God that I'm not going to hang out with these people. I'm not going to be a part of this group. I'm not going to go to these places. Well, what's Satan going to try to do? He's going to try to get you to go there. Or maybe he'll try to get you to go to a different place that's the same situation that'll get you to fall to the same sin. So sometimes we'll make commitments to God. And Satan's going to try to tempt us. So when will we be tempted? When we make a commitment to God. And when we are very low. I've heard it said before, and I don't remember the exact statement, but it goes something like this. Don't ever get too hungry or too tired to be a Christian. And sometimes we do that, don't we? We'll let ourselves get hungry, and we'll get irritable. We'll let ourselves get tired. We'll push ourselves. We'll work and work and work and work until we're just so tired that we can't be the example to our family that we should be. That we just walk right by someone that we might need to help. Maybe we get irritable and we let our temper get the best of us. And we let ourselves get in a physiological condition that pushes us over the limit. So don't let yourself get so hungry or tired that you can't be a Christian, because Satan's going to tempt you when you feel physically low, when you feel physically sick or physically weak. Okay, don't let yourself get hungry unless you made a commitment to God to fast. Okay? So Satan's going to tempt us when we feel low, and he's going to tempt us in places where we're weak, maybe in a place where we've made a commitment to God. Why is he going to tempt us at those times? Well, you know, there's windows of opportunity that happen in people's lives. For example, someone may lose a loved one. And when that time happens, it's very difficult physically on someone when they go through that situation. And most of us have probably experienced this at some time or another. And when that happens, a lot of times people question God. Why did God let this happen? Why did God allow this? Why did God do this? And so we're at a weak point. You have the opportunity to go one direction and question God, or you have the opportunity to go the other direction and say, whatever God's will is. I may not understand it, but I'm going to trust that God knows what is best. And so there's these windows of opportunity that sometimes happen when we are physically low. It might be sickness. It might be a loss of a loved one. There's lots of different things that can happen. But that is when Satan will tempt us. But that's also a time when God's allowing us to get stronger. If you've ever exercised and you've tried to gain weight by building muscle mass, you know that what you got to do is absolutely wear yourself out and then get a few more reps in there so that you can get stronger. If all you do is get tired, you're not doing yourself any good. You've got to push yourself to your limit to improve yourself. We had a saying back at Jacksonville that if it doesn't kill you, it just makes you stronger. And a lot of times we felt like we were about to die. Of course, we didn't. And we were stronger the next day because of what we had made it through the day before. So Satan will tempt us when we feel weak. Jesus replied, verse 4, something that's very important to us. And I just want to make one statement off of this. We've talked about when we're low. We've talked about when we're weak. Jesus' statement, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In essence, he was saying to Satan, I would rather die starving, living according to God's will, than to eat and live in sin and prove to Satan that I was God's son. Because what did Satan say to him? If you're God's son, then make this stone become bread. It was a test. It was like a competitive nature thing. I don't think you're really God's son, so prove it to me. I don't think you're really a Christian, so prove it to me. Prove to me that you can go to this place and not partake of this sin. Prove to me that you can be part of this group of friends and not act like them. Prove to me that you can do these things. You don't have to prove anything to Satan. You don't ever have to prove anything to him. And Jesus said, I would rather die starving. I would rather die in my physical state of weakness than give in to you just to try to prove to you who I am. Because the fact is, Satan, you know who I am. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And if you're a Christian, Satan knows you're a Christian. Otherwise, he wouldn't be tempting you. He wouldn't be trying to get you to follow those sins. Let's go on to the next passage. Verse 5. So then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said to him, if thou be the Son of God, there he is again questioning himself, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay, Satan tempted Jesus first on a point where he was very weak. He's feeling tired, hungry, he's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He tempted him when he's very low. And we talked about how he's going to tempt us the same way. Well, metaphorically speaking, he took him to a completely different situation. He took him to, at that time, what was the height of the religious life. He took him to a pinnacle on the temple. He took him up to a high point, spiritually speaking. Okay? So what's this symbolizing here? Satan's going to tempt us when we're low. He's going to tempt us when we're high. He's going to tempt us when we feel spiritually strong. And what's he going to do? He's going to use some scripture. What did he do to Jesus? He said to Jesus, the Bible says that if you fall, the angels will pick you up. So if you really are the Son of God, I want you to throw yourself off of this pinnacle up here, and I want you to watch all these angels come down and pick you up. That's what I want you to do, to prove to me that you are God's son. But you know, the Bible gives us promises also. The Bible gives us promises that when we are in God's care, that no one can pluck us out. Satan can't come and take us out of God's care. But it doesn't say that we can't leave God's care. So what Satan's going to try to do to us, when we feel spiritually strong, maybe we've been dealing with a situation, a weakness, and we overcome it. We've been overcoming the situation for 6 months or a year, whatever, however long it is. We feel like we can deal with it now. Satan's going to say, all right, I want you to try it. I want you to go back to that place. I want you to go back and hang out with those friends. And just see if you're as strong as you think you are. No, the Bible says nobody can pluck you out, so all those friends that you're around over there, they can't make you do it. They can't take you away from it. They can't force you to do anything. So just go. See if you can overcome it. See if you can overcome that weakness. You say you're spiritually strong. You're at a pinnacle of your religious life. So go and test yourself. Go test yourself. God says He won't let you fall. What are you doing when you do that? Well, you're falling, number one, to face temptation. But Jesus said, don't tempt the Lord your God. Now, what are we doing? We're putting God into a situation where if He wants to prove that we are His children, then He has to physically somehow keep us from doing that sin. Is God going to do that? Is God ever going to physically stop us from committing a sin? No. Because if He does, He's taking our choice away. And if we don't have a choice, then we can't choose to follow Him. Then we're robots. God doesn't want an army of robots. If that's what He wanted, that's what He would have created. But God's not going to stop us. But what the Bible means when it says you will not fall, or God will not let you fall, is that number one, you're going to be smart enough to not go back into that situation to start with. And that as a Christian, you're going to recognize the fact that, hey, this is a temptation from Satan. And he's asking me to tempt God. He's asking me to go back to this place to prove that I'm a Christian. Now tell me this. What are you proving by going there? By doing that thing, whatever it is. By being around those people. Who are you proving something to, and what are you proving? Are you proving to those people that you're a Christian? By going back to the places that you used to go? By doing the things you used to do and saying the things you used to say? No. Are you proving to Satan that you're a Christian by doing that? No. What are you proving to him? You're proving to him that he's still good at what he does. At throwing you a sales pitch. Are you proving to God that you're a Christian? No. You're proving to God that you're weak. And that you're not relying on His strength to make it through your life. So Satan's not going to just tempt us when you're low. He's not going to just try to tempt you when you're physically low. He's going to try to tempt you when you are spiritually at your strongest. He's going to try to get you to test yourself. So don't do it. Don't tempt God, and don't walk back into a temptation. Moving on to verse 8, it says, again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus said unto him, get thee hence from me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So this is a pretty powerful thing that's just happened. Jesus is hungry. Satan tempts him to try to prove that he's the Son of God by making stone turn into bread. That doesn't work. He takes him up onto a pinnacle representing the strongest point or the highest point of a religious life. That doesn't work either. So what's the last thing that Satan's got? If we don't fall when we're physically low, if we don't fall when we're spiritually strong, what's he going to try to get us to do? He's going to try to change our focus of where we're wanting to go. Meaning, heaven. Because why are we Christians to start with? Why are any of you here this morning? Because you want to go where? heaven. Because you don't want to go where? Hell. Because God loved us and made a way for us to make it to heaven. If there was no chance of making it to heaven, you wouldn't be here. Would you? No, we wouldn't. There was no chance of making it to heaven. But there is. So what Satan's going to try to do is he's going to sell us the best that there is in this world in exchange for heaven. So he took Jesus to the top of the highest mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, and he said, I will give you all of this if you'll fall down and worship me. So what's the trade-off here? What's the trade-off for Jesus? Well, you know, he was in heaven. He was the creator of the world. The Bible tells us that without him was nothing made, and by him were all things made. So he created this world to start with. So it was all his anyway. What's Satan really giving him? Nothing. He's not giving him anything. But what's he asking him to trade off? A home on earth for a home in heaven. Now you're Jesus, sitting there on this mountain. Satan tells you, Brad, I'll give you all this out here, all these kingdoms. You won't ever have to worry about money. You'll never have to pay any bills. You'll have plenty of people to pay your bills because you won't have any bills. You'll be on top of everything. You'll own everything. You'll hold everything. You'll have all the glory. Everybody will bow and worship you. What would you do? Sounds like it might be fun. Some people live their lives in search of that very thing, of the financial situation where there's no bills to worry about because you've got plenty of money. Where you're in a situation at the top of an organization so that there's lots of glory in your position. People are always friendly to you at work. They're glad to see you come in the door and they put on their best when they walk in your office because you can help them move up because you have power. So there's glory in your position. Satan's going to offer us these things just like he offered it to Jesus. But what we've got to remember is that this world is not our home. We sing the song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. But how many of us have set up shop down here and got good and comfortable, nice and cozy? You know, sometimes here in America, we don't look forward enough to heaven because we like it just right here where we are. We like our house, we like our home, we're comfortable, we feel safe, we feel secure. We know we've got the next income check coming in, the bill's going to be taken care of. We are comfortable. And we may not look forward to heaven as a next home. How many of you, if I asked for a show of hands, it would be interesting to see how many of you would rather go to heaven tonight or go back home and finish living out your life here? How many of you would take the trade-off if the door was open to heaven just for tonight and you could go to heaven or stay here? What would you do? You know, there's songs that have been written about, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go tonight. I'm just not quite ready to go yet. I want to enjoy my life here a little bit longer. There's nothing wrong with enjoying our life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying our family. There's nothing wrong with enjoying our house, with enjoying our job. God wants us to be happy, but he doesn't want us to be so content that we don't see past it. He doesn't want us to be so happy that we wouldn't gladly go right on into heaven instead of staying here. You know, Paul faced that dilemma. Paul said, I would much rather be at home in heaven. But, he said, I know it's better for you, for other people. It's better for you and it's better for us because he wrote letters that we have today. He said, it's better for you that I stay because there's work that I need to do. But I would rather be in heaven. Satan's going to sell us comfort. He's going to sell us a home here. He's going to ask us, I want you to like your home here. I don't want you to look at yourself as a pilgrim, just traveling through. This world is not my home. I'm just traveling through. I'm looking forward to heaven. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Are your treasures in the blue? Are your treasures in the stock market? Or is your treasure in your house? Is your treasure in what all that you have collected in your barn? All of your tools, all of your toys, all of your gadgets. Is that your treasures or are your treasures in heaven? Because if they're not in heaven, then Satan has sold you to this world. And he's tempted you with things of this life. And it's easy to give into that. We can give into that so easily and not even realize it. Why do we have to have the best of this and the best of that? Why do we want to spend all our time taking... I heard a story one time. I think I've used this example somewhere, but the fellow was talking about a lawnmower. And he said, you know, I bought this lawnmower, we've got a house, and now the house has got me tied down because now I've got to maintain the house. I had to buy a lawnmower so that I could keep the yard cut. Well, then the lawnmower breaks down, so I've got to fix the lawnmower. My kid's got a swing set, so I'm all the time having to fix the swing set. And it's like we buy all this stuff, and it just ties us down. It's got our arms tied, our hands tied, so that we don't have time to go out and be a Christian and to be an evangelist and to knock on doors and talk to people. Because we've got things to do. Let's just be careful that Satan has not sold us on this life. Is it wrong to have a house and a lawnmower to keep your yard nice and clean? No, it's not. Is it wrong to have a swing set for your kids? No, it's not. Is it wrong to let things of this life tie you down so much that you can't be a Christian? Yes, it is. So let's be careful. Be very careful that you don't give in to the temptation when Satan takes you up to that pinnacle, or to that mountain, and says, I'm going to give you all these things if you'll just do this. It might come in the form of a job interview. I will promise you opportunities to move up the ladder, to become successful, work your way up the corporate ladder if you'll take this job. Work 60 hours a week, work weekends, work Sundays. I want you to, you know, they're not going to say, I want you to be away from your family, but you might have to travel from here and travel a little there. But it'll pay off in the end because you'll eventually get that desk job where you're behind a desk. You know, you get go out and play golf with your clients, and you can live your life the way you want to. But I want you to give me 15 years of your life first to pay your dues. Be careful. Be careful of what you are putting yourself into, of what you're living your life for. So, what is temptation? Satan is just giving us a sales pitch. So who is involved with temptation? Well, number one, I am. Satan's going to tempt me on my weak point. Who else? Number two is Satan. Number three is God, because God is going to regulate every single temptation that we face. He's going to make sure that if Satan tempts us, that it's something that we can overcome, that God can use as a test to strengthen us. So who is involved? Me, Satan, and God. All right, what is temptation? It's Satan's sales pitch to try to convince you that you don't have a choice. You're hungry, Jesus. Make you some food. You're the Son of God. Throw yourself off this pinnacle so that we can all see that you're the Son of God. I want you to have all this stuff down here. I'll give you all these things if you'll bow down and worship me. It's a sales pitch to try to get us to sin. That's what temptation is. When will he tempt us? When we're at our lowest point, when we're at our highest point, and then he's going to tempt us to try to blind us of the glorious home that's waiting for us in heaven. What points? Where will he tempt us? Of course, he's going to tempt us at our weak point. He's going to tempt us on the things that he thinks he can get us on. What does a salesperson do? A good salesperson is trained to read whoever it is that they're talking to. And whatever your hang-up might be on buying the product, they're going to try to hit that point and convince you that it's okay. Whatever it is, a good salesperson can read their customer and make them feel comfortable. That's what Satan's going to try to do. He's going to find your weak point and hit them. And why do we face temptation? Why does God allow us to be tempted? Because he wants us to be stronger. And because every time we overcome temptation, it's another slap in the face to Satan. He couldn't get Jesus. And now here this lowly person is, this lowly guy named Brad, and even he, Satan, even he, through my strength, can overcome the best that you've got to throw at him. Even everybody can overcome Satan through God's strength. And every time we do, it's a slap in the face to Satan. Because there's a few people that aren't going to give in. The Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So that means there's a lot of people that do give in. But Satan feels good. But there's those few that don't. Let's be part of those few. Let's be those ones that overcome temptation. Let's be those ones that are stronger because of what we've faced. Let's be the ones that in the end come out on God's side. So let's please think about these things. Look at your life. If you're not facing temptation, then you need to look real careful at your life. Because maybe you're not striving to live the Christian life as hard as you should be. Because if you are, you're going to face temptation. The Bible doesn't say if you are tempted. It says when you are tempted. So we will face temptation. Please think about these things. If there's any way we can be of assistance, if you have never become a Christian and you would like to do that, you can this morning. You've heard the word preached. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're ready to make that confession that you believe He is the Son of God. You're ready to repent of your sins and start a new life so that the angels in heaven can rejoice. You come forward this morning and confess your belief, and we'll baptize you this morning. Then you can rise to start that new life. If you've done that and you've given in to temptation, if you fall into the sales pitch and you want to come back and ask for strength for the prayers of the church, we'll be glad to help you in any way while we stand in the same.